Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you this morning that you have taught our hands to war, our fingers to fight. And Lord, we are your end-time warriors. Use us as your weapons of war against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you have lost the war in heaven in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let all of our enemies make war against the Lamb be destroyed in Jesus' name. Oh, we bless you this morning, oh God. We do not war after the flesh, but after the spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thunder upon our enemies. Oh, God, release your voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Send out your arrows, oh, God, and scatter the enemies in Jesus' name. Shoot out your light and discomfort them. Deliver us from the strong enemy, oh, God, from them that are too strong for us. Deliver us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, into a large place. We are your battle axes and weapons of war. You have given us the necks of our enemies, and we have destroyed them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your anointing. In the name of Jesus, you have given us the anointing, O God, for great deliverance. Thank you, Lord God, that we are anointed for great deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that we have pursued our enemies and overtaken them. I thank you, Lord God, that they did not turn until they were consumed. We have wounded them in the name of Jesus, and they will not be able to rise again in Jesus' name. They have fallen under our feet in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you because you are faithful, faithful friend, faithful Father. You are faithful, oh God. Oh, Father God, I thank you that we are able to tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. We trample under feet in Jesus' name. We tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall harm us in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus for cleansing our temple and driving out the thief out of our lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for lifting up a standard against any flood the enemy would try to send into our lives in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we appreciate you. We bless you. We honor you this morning. We thank you that you are King of Kings. And, Lord, we just thank you that you are our shepherd in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that we shall not want. Oh, Father, I thank you that you make us to lie down in green pastures and you load us, you lead us beside the still waters, oh, God. I thank you that you are restoring our souls. You lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I thank you, Lord God, that we will fear no evil in the name of Jesus, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff is comforting us every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you are preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You are anointing our head with oil, and our cup is running over. In the name of Jesus, surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in your house, O God, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Bible
Good
Story
morning.
10. Today is October the 5th, 2013, and we are honoring senior citizens today. It is Senior Citizens Day on Bible Storyland. You know, we're honoring those that are gray-headed, the hoary-headed people, those that God has graced with life and abundant life. He's given us many years to live, and truly we are grateful. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come with grateful hearts to thank you this morning for all that you've done and all that you are about to do. And, Father, you said, who can know our errors? So we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for all of our errors, our sins, our trespasses, our transgressions against you, against your people, against ourselves. Forgive us, Father God. Create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit. And this morning we come with thankfulness in our heart. We come this morning thanking you, our God, for the life that you've given us, abundant life, O God. Oh, Father, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you will deliver us out of them all. And you are loyal. You are faithful. You are not a man that you should lie. You are God, and you are God alone. There's no God like you, Jehovah. Oh, Father God, we could call on you early in the morning. We could call on you late at night. All through the day, we could call on you, Lord God Almighty. You are the King of Kings, and there's nobody that can compare to how great you are. You created us in your mighty image. You blew your very breath into man, oh God, and we became living souls, oh God. So we thank you for the light that you give us, oh God. Particularly today, I lift up the senior citizens, oh God, in the name of Jesus, throughout the world, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, oh God, for those that are not saved, that you would save them from this untoward generation, that they would call you, Lord, before they leave this earth, oh God. Father, it is because of your mercy and your grace that we are still alive today. The enemy could have taken us out, but you spared our lives for such a time as this. So, Father, as we go forth on Bible Story Land this morning, we thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us unto all truth. We bless you and we honor your presence this morning. Have your way on Bible Story Land. Father God, those seniors who are suffering in their bodies, I thank you that you are Jehovah, Yokoshe, Baka, Rapha, a mighty healer. The doctors are limited, but we serve an unlimited God. You an unlimited Father in the name of Jesus. And we thank and bless you this morning. We praise and honor you this morning. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving, O God. We thank you that you are a mighty King and that we serve a great God like you. You're the one who spoke with your mouth, and you said, let there be, and there was light on the earth. You separated the seas from the dry land. You separated the day from the night. Oh, God, you gave the animals, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. You gave the plants for food, oh, God, and nothing did you forget, oh, God. And, Father God, we realize that you are the unlimited Father. You are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. You have provided life. You provided everything that we need in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning, oh God. We come giving you glory and praise and thanksgiving. We thank you this morning for what you are about to do on Bible Story Land. Have your way. And Father, I lift up each and every person this morning that's on Bible Story Land, those that will come on in the name of Jesus. And we just bless you. Oh, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, we ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask you, Lord, to lead us daily in the paths of righteousness. I thank you, Father God, that you are the unlimited healer. Oh, send the word and heal everybody who needs a healing on Bible Story Land this morning, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional. Heal, Father God, anyone who's oppressed, depressed, suppressed. Heal, Father God. You said, why are you cast down on my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who's the help of my countenance and my God. So, Father, I thank you this morning that the senior citizens, oh God, are covered with your precious blood. They are mokoshe baka, saved by you, oh God. And I thank you this morning for what you've done and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Well, people of God, we have a great woman from Houston, Texas. She's going to be playing a song of praise unto the Lord this morning. Good morning, Karen Itell. How are you? Karen, are you there?
Good morning, you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, great. What you going to play for us this morning?
How about How Great Thou Art?
Awesome, one of my favorites. All right, go right ahead. great thou art. And our Father is great. He's greater than any words we can say. You know the song, How Great Thou Art, only expressed a little of his greatness. But we thank God that we serve a great God, and he is king, and he created king. So this morning we also have a woman of God on with us from Jacksonville, Florida. Her name is Jackie Travis. I'm going to put her off mute right now. Good morning, Sister Jackie. How you doing?
Edit calendar.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Amen.
Everybody else doing okay?
Yes.
I have my sister Deborah Jones on the line with me. Is my cousin Donna on the line?
Yes, she is.
All right. Everybody's on today. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Y'all gonna sing together?
No, she said she didn't want to sing today. I don't know why. She just don't want to sing today.
All right. Well, Deborah, we are glad you're here. Where are you, Deborah? What city are you in, Deborah?
Paducah, Kentucky.
All right. You over there with Sister Donna. All right. Well, Jackie, what you going to sing for us this morning?
Let Jesus fix it for you.
Let Jesus fix it for you. Okay. And he can do it, too. Go ahead.
Yes, he will. Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows, yes, he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, you just let him have his way. Child, and I know, oh, yes, he'll fix it for you. And when you're in doubt,
and loyalty,
find your way out.
And pass the law.
And you know not just what to do. Just fall on your knees and have faith in his word. And child, and I know, oh, yes, he'll fix it for you. Let Jesus, let him fix it for you.
I got more down to you.
He knows, yes, he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, you just let him have his way. Child, and I know, oh, yes, he'll fix it for you.
Amen. Amen. And he will fix it. He has fixed so many things for us, and I thank God for you. Thank you, Jackie. Beautiful. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on. Just before Minister Donna come on, I'm going to share a little bit of the word of God straight from Psalm 71. It says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. I have like a little background noise. I don't know if someone's talking, but we can pick up the sounds whenever you're talking. So if you could put your phone on mute, I appreciate it. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I am as a wanderer unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with praise and with thy honor all day. Cast me not off in thy time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So I thank God for the word. You know, he thought about us as senior citizens. You know, millions of years ago, he thought about us at the foundation of the earth, and he put us in the word. He said, yeah, you know, his word says the gray-headed people, the hoary-headed people, those that are, you know, have white hair, you know, he said that he would take care of us. He won't forsake us when we're old. So we're blessed. You know, I don't know about you, but my mother and my father forsook me. They're going on to glory. But God is eternal. He'll live forever. So I thank God this morning. Well, we have another great woman of God on from Paducah, Kentucky. Good morning, Minister Donna Hawkins. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Minister G. I'm doing great.
Good. I hear you and Deborah over there. Y'all got sunshine?
Well, it poured down this morning. Early this morning, about 3 o'clock, it was raining so hard. But it's not raining now. Still cloudy, but it's not raining.
Amen. Whatever he sends, I agree.
That's right. That's right.
What you going to sing this morning?
I'm going to sing I've Never Seen the Righteous Forsaken. I couldn't decide this morning, but after hearing you read that scripture, that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
All right. You may be down today, all but help is on the way. Dark clouds may dim your skies. The Lord will answer by and by. He'll wipe away all of your tears. You know he's been with me down through the years. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Did the Lord ever pass you by when you asked him for a favor? Did he ever ignore your cry when you asked him for healing? Did he ever turn his back on you? My God Almighty will see you through. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You may be down today, but help is on the way. Dark clouds may dim your skies. The Lord will answer by and by. He'll wipe away all of your tears. You know he's been with me down through the years. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Did the Lord ever pass you by when you asked him for a favor? Did he ever ignore your cry when you asked him for healing? Did he ever turn his back on you? My God Almighty will see you through. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. You know, this morning we've had some great music, great songs. I thank God that he has given us talents and gifts on Bible Storyland. And in about 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to have a great man of God. He's my chiropractor for over 30 years. He's going to be speaking to us. But before that time, I want to tell you something. You know, silver is a beautiful crown found in a righteous life. Now, I didn't make that up. That came straight out the word of God. Silver hair is not a sign of wisdom. Wisdom comes from spending time in the presence of the Almighty God. If any man or woman lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and braideth not, and it shall be given to him. We must make wise choices in life, in all things. Many young people make wise choices. The younger we get, now you know I'm talking about the gray-headed people, the younger we get, the more wisdom we need, particularly in choosing what's best for us. There was a song by the Beatles years ago titled, Money Can't Buy Me Love. I say to you today, money can't buy us help. Money can't buy us help either. We must make wise choices concerning our health. Obamacare or God care? Wisdom. We must choose wisely. The old people used to say, when you got your health, you got everything. So let's not wait until sickness hit us to take care of our body. Let's start now. First, let's think healthy. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's watch what we think. What we think on is important in staying healthy. Let's be proactive in taking care of our health. In the book of Daniel chapter 1, and his friends proposed in their heart not to defile their temple, their body with rich food nor alcohol. They decided to keep their bodies pure by eating the food of the king, of the King of Kings, the food that God created. They had self-control and they denied themselves food they knew would harm their bodies. Food that would fill their belly but would eventually cause them to be weak. They ate pulse. You can read about it in Daniel 1 and verse 12. It talks about pulse, P-U-L-S-E, which is from the plant family, the greens, spinach, lettuce, kale, squash, cabbage, legumes, black beans, red beans, lima beans, and so forth, seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, and nuts, walnuts, cashews, pecans, you name it. Fruit, apples, pears, watermelons, plums, cherries, figs, cantaloupe, and pineapples. And you know what? Because they ate from the King of Kings menu, they were wise. They were brilliant. They were smarter than the other young men that the king had chosen. God intends us to stay healthy. 3 John 2 says, beloved. He's talking to us. He said, beloved. He called us his beloved. I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, our next guest has been my doctor for over 30 years. He is a doctor of chiropractic medicine. I'll never forget when I went to him, a woman of God told me about him. I couldn't even stand up. My back was bent over. I was having muscle spasms frequently. Turn my neck, muscle spasm. Turn my head, muscle spasm. Just one after the other. But in a short period of time, with the treatments he gave me, I could walk straight again. All the spasms went away. And, you know, he's still my chiropractor. When I got some issue with my health, I call him up. But don't you think I just call him alone. I call the Father, too. Jehovah, you know, Rapha, the mighty healer, because human beings are limited in their knowledge of healing the body, but the Almighty God, he is the healer. So I thank God for this man of God. I remember one time I had gallbladder problems. I went in his office and I said, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I was so nauseated and just sick all the time on my stomach and having some pain going around my side and everything. So he said, I think it's gallbladder. You know, I couldn't sleep. He said, I think it's your gallbladder, but let me check you. So he checked me. And, you know, he said, yep, you got to clean your gallbladder in the spring. So, you know, I heard him, and I didn't hear him. I thought, no. So, but anyway, in the spring, oh, my God, it got worse. Had to change my diet. He gave me a sheet on how to cleanse my gallbladder. And, you know, sometimes doctors tell you, you don't need your gallbladder. I said, I beg to differ with you. I need everything God gave me. He ain't gave me nothing in vain. So I thank God for my chiropractor. You know, I called him often, and I said, look, I got this pain, that pain. But you know what? He's so patient. He's so loving and kind and considerate. He don't say, look, you just called me the other day. He don't ever lose his patience with me. He said, oh, okay, now what else happened? And tell me more about it. He's so patient. He listens to what's going on, and usually his diagnosis is correct. So I know that God gave him a great gift, that gift that, you know, where he can listen to something and he says, this is what's going on. And usually he's always correct. So I thank God for the gift that he gave him. His name is Dr. Theodore Kearns, also known as Dr. Terry. I call him Dr. T. So he's going to speak to us right now. Good morning, Dr. T. How are you?
Good morning, Carissa. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. We're glad you're with us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. It was wonderful to hear those stories again and again. You know, it's like the stories in the Bible. We never get tired of hearing them. And I never get tired of hearing that people are improving their health. And if I can play some small part in it, it's always my pleasure to do so. We've been friends for many, many years. And listening
Amen.
To you speak, it made me think of the practice of medicine. Everyone's well aware they don't call it the practice of medicine for nothing. And I would like to think I'm better at it today than I was when I started 40 years ago. But I certainly do enjoy it as much today as I ever did. And in the practice of medicine, we think of holistic medicine. We think of mind, body, and chemistry. And certainly when you keep your spiritual face turned to God, it's very hard for you to have a wrong mind. And it's always been my pleasure to have patients who have a good mind. And it makes my job so much easier. As a healer, I'm just a stagehand. I've told people for many, many years now, any surgeon can cut you, but he can't heal that cut. That healing comes from God. And it's the same for me, Caritha. You know, I've helped you with many issues through the years, but all I've done is set the stage for good healing. It's God who did the healing. But sometimes we need a stagehand. A good stagehand's nice to have around. And I'm always glad to be there. I was thinking as you were speaking that the Sisters of Mercy over on Chef Mitchell Highway, close to the old office, years and years I had the pleasure of working with the sisters and did some lecture series for them, because when I spoke with the nurse who handled the health care for all the sisters at the retirement home and the nursing home, I asked her what problems did they face, and they said, well, the things we deal with most here in old age is arthritis and heart trouble and constipation problems. And I told her rather glibly and not unintentionally, that's all one problem. And she kind of looked at me and I said, we all know that heart disease is a disease of diet. Even the medical profession has finally decided that they have to change people's diet and make it better. They have to get them away from the foods that put stress on their heart. And I've told patients for years and years, none of us store our trash up and down the hallway. None of us store our treasures up and down the hallway. Nobody keeps a Bible laying in the hallway. We put it in a treasured place. And all of our delightful things that we like to see when we celebrate the Christmas holidays, we put those away in our attic, or we put them away in our garage until the holiday season comes, and then we go and take them out. Well, that's only because we learn those things from our body. What happens is with our body, when we have things that we put in there that it can't deal with today and has to deal with at another time, it puts those things away. And the least active tissue in the human body is ligaments and tendons. So all of our debris that we shouldn't have put in the first place and the body can't get rid of it today gets stored in those areas. And we call that arthritis. But it's really a matter of just cleansing, like cleansing that gallbladder. You had a good working gallbladder. What seemed to make it break? Just dietary indiscretions, lack of knowledge, And by learning those things, we're always able to take better care of ourselves. The Bible is full of examples where people are told to fast and told to diet and told what diet is best for them. And unfortunately, so often people don't have that knowledge. That's why we try to bring it to them whenever we can. And they have the knowledge, but they have problems with the application. People have a life. They get busy. They have families. They have children. They get pulled in many directions, and they do the best they can. And it's not our place to judge them. It's only our place to help them because they're our fellow man. So one of the things that I'd like to talk about, if y'all will tolerate me for just a few minutes, is our digestive system. When we eat food, too often here in New Orleans, we grab a po' boy sandwich and we get a bite of it and it tastes wonderful and we want more, so we take a drink of good old New Orleans Barks root beer and swallow it down and grab another bite. But the truth of the matter is, we need to chew our food until it disappears. And too often people don't do that. And it's a very, very simple process to begin with, and it will give you rewards throughout the entire length of the human bowel. And it's very, very necessary because in our saliva we contain an enzyme called ptyalin, P-T-Y-A-L-I-N. And ptyalin begins the digestion of carbohydrates. So when we chew our food thoroughly and we mix our saliva with it, then we begin our digestive process. Also, when you get in the habit of chewing your food more effectively, you'll find sometimes you run out of saliva before you run out of food on your plate. Well, that just means you should leave that food on your plate. I know when we were kids, they told us, eat everything, don't leave anything there. But when your body is finished, it's finished. And you've taken in the food that you're able and need to consume. So after you chew your food thoroughly and chew it till it disappears, the next place it will go is down the esophagus and past the larynx and into your stomach. And the stomach contains an enzyme for digesting or beginning the digestion of proteins. Proteins are digested in the stomach by hydrochloric acid. Now, if anybody has a little bit of a chemistry background, they know if you pour hydrochloric acid on your skin or if you stick your hand in hydrochloric acid, it will just eat the meat off your bones, literally. You will stop. And yet, our miraculous God allows us to create hydrochloric acid for the digestion of proteins and not harm us in the least. He's such a wonderful God, and we need to follow his guidance. And when you talk about proteins, we talk about animal proteins, which are meat, fish, and fowl. And, of course, we have a lot of folks who follow a vegetarian regime. And some people forget about the vegetarian proteins, which are seeds, beans, and nuts. And you mentioned earlier of eating God's diet. You mentioned nuts because we're all aware of them. We simply don't always remember that they're a replacement for animal proteins if we choose, and they can keep us healthy. There's a little time required right at the end of the stomach. There's a little area called the antrum of the stomach, and that antrum of the stomach checks everything that we've chewed up and begun the digestion of carbohydrates, and everything that we've chewed up and begun the digestion of proteins, and it checks it to make sure it's the right consistency and the right pH and ready to go forward into the small intestine. And from the stomach, all of our pre-digested food goes in the small intestine. And for the first two-thirds of the small intestine, all of those foods are simply acted upon by those digestive enzymes and prepared. Now, in the last one-third of the small intestine, what happens now is we reach an area called the common bile duct. And at the common bile duct, bile is squirted onto our food. Now, too often people misunderstand bile. What happens with bile is produced in the liver. And when the liver produces the bile, it pushes it into the common bile duct. And the gallbladder, which sits on the common bile duct, draws that bile up into itself and holds on to it until such time as we eat a fatty meal. So we begin the digestion of proteins, we begin the digestion of carbohydrates, and when we reach that common bile duct, the gallbladder squirts that bile out onto the food, and we begin the digestion of fats. And bile does something called saponification. Our body is water, it's liquid, it's designed for liquid function. Bile is fat. Fat and water don't mix very well. Bile turns fat into a water-soluble substance. Just like we eat crawfish and we eat crabs and we eat shrimp and we eat fried chicken and we eat all those things we love down here in the South, and it leaves our hands all greasy. And if we stick our greasy hands under the water and wipe them off, they're still greasy. But when we take the soap and we put soap on our hands, it cuts that grease. It is a saponification process. And so that's what your gallbladder actually does for you. It turns that substance into a water-soluble and digestive process. And very, very shortly after that common bile duct, you will encounter the pancreatic duct. Now, everybody thinks of pancreas for diabetes. They think of pancreas for sugar. They think of pancreas. But the pancreas has two parts. One part of the pancreas is called the Isles of Langerhans. And in the Isles of Langerhans, your body produces insulin. But sometimes insulin as well is misunderstood, because insulin isn't involved in digestion. Insulin isn't involved in absorption. Insulin is involved in distribution. What happens is once you begin the process of digestion and end the process of digestion, the insulin now waits for that food to be absorbed and then transports it to the tissues and the muscles where it's going to do its job. It's an important part of the active transport mechanism. Mm-hmm. The other part of that pancreas, other than the Isles of Langerhans, is called the parenchymal tissue. The parenchymal tissue of the pancreas has all the enzymes to complete the end stages of digestion. It has amylase, protease, and carbohydrates to finish the digestion of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, amylase. And so very, very quickly, the parenchymal tissue puts those digestive enzymes into our gut. At the very end, it finishes all that digestion. We absorb the last of our nutrition. Then whatever is not digested, whatever is indigestible, goes past a valve called the ileocecal valve. The valve opens up, lets all that waste material in, and then it closes again. We say it keeps the food from the feces, and that's a good thing. And so then the large intestine acts upon that waste product. They have bacteria in the large intestine called E. coli, which you're not supposed to eat and consume on your foods. Very often you've seen things on television that say there's E. coli contamination, and that's true. Your food and your feces are supposed to be separated. That E. coli belongs with feces, not with food, so you should not consume it, but you do need it. It's an important part of your digestive system. And the byproduct of E. coli acting upon the waste product in our large intestine is vitamin B12. You know, we all heard about vitamin B12 shots for people who have low energy, and vitamin B12 to help you fight off disorders like shingles, which is very much in the news today. And that's where we get our B12. If you swallow a B12 tablet, your B12 absorption rate from your gut is only 1 to 3%. Very, very hard. You'd have to swallow a huge amount of it. They do make a sublingual B12 tablet that you can melt under your tongue, like nitroglycerin for people who have heart problems. And that B12 that melts under your tongue has a much better absorption rate, but that's really only 10 to 12%. That's why when doctors see you with a severe B12 deficiency or they see you with a problem acquiring huge amounts of B12, they want to give you a shot with B12 because it's 100% absorbable. But you should be getting the B12 from your bowel. You should chew your food thoroughly. You should chew it till it disappears. You should allow it time and energy to go through your digestive process. You shouldn't just eat and run. But we all do. We understand that. But you can minimize the impact of those things by good habits, eating on time, stopping, sitting down, and eating a meal at peace, and thanking God for his deliverance to you of all the things you need in that meal. And the things that are unnecessary will end up in that large intestine. That was his design for you. And so the E. coli works on the large intestine, which has an ascending colon and a transverse colon and a descending colon. Again, a timing mechanism to give that time. The upper two-thirds of the lower colon are designed for time, to give time for those things to occur. And then you reach what's called the sigmoid colon and the rectum, which is where the fecal bolus is developed and expelled. And that's how we take our food in and we eliminate our waste. And by eliminating our waste, it prevents us from storing products in our ligaments and tendons, in our attic, in our garage. It eliminates our storing products that are unnecessary, that they can't be moved because there's too much waste or things aren't being cleared out of the waste area effectively enough. And so that's why it's necessary for us to be very conscious of that. A couple of things that you've heard from me many, many times, Karita, in relationship to this digestion, because it prevents diseases of diet, such as heart disease and diabetes. And so when you are preparing to eat your meal, you should drink all your liquids about 15 minutes before your meal begins. And, of course, you should chew your meal thoroughly. You should take time to rest and be at peace and digest your meal effectively, and then go about your day's activities. After that, you should wait 30 minutes before you consume any liquids again. You heard my analogy about the way we do it in New Orleans. You eat that pole bar sandwich with a root beer. Very, very bad habits. It's amazing the bad habits we get into. But once someone makes us aware of our bad habits and gives us some very simple rules to follow, it gets easier and easier for us to enjoy the bounty that God brings to us. And so I'm sure everyone's tired of listening to me because I can talk for hours and hours. That very digestive system that I just did with you, I did with a group of fellow chiropractors at a seminar one day, and I talked for 5 hours straight. So you all do want me to stop now, but I'm more than happy to take whatever time you need for any questions or answers you have about the things we just talked about or any other particular health problems that trouble you, that I'll be happy to give you my knowledge and guidance on. Thank you, Karita.
Thank you. Boy, that was some great practical things that we can do, knowledge. I appreciate it. You know, even though I live in Jacksonville, Florida, he lives in New Orleans. Like I said, he is still my chiropractor.
That's,
and you know,
true,
what? I've been knowing him so long. I even went to his wedding when he and Joey got married. I went to his wedding, so, you know, we've all been friends a while. So I thank God for you, Dr. T. You're my favorite chiropractor. You know, I've been to many chiropractors, but I've never met a chiropractor as thorough as you, who takes time, and, you know, who's still, you know, that I'm friends with. So I thank God for your friendship and for the knowledge that God has given you. So we're going to open up the line for questions. Press 1 if you have any questions for Dr. T, and he will be glad to answer you. Press 1. If you're already on live, you can just state your question.
Hi, Dr. Paris. This is Vivian, Dr. Paris. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Vivian, and I'm glad you're here with us, and I know that life is treating you wonderful as well. But if there are some problems that we can help you with, please.
Yes, I usually have strong nails, and my nails here recently have been doing a just splitting and breaking. What's causing my nails to start that?
The most common problem with that is bad protein digestion and absorption. It's a curious phenomenon. I tell people all the time, if you look at life, I had a neurologist recently at a seminar that said, we evolve in this specified way that God has designed for us, and we devolve in a reverse process, which means first we crawl, then we walk, then we run, then we jump. But as we get older, we stop jumping off the porch, and we stop jumping over fences, and we stop jumping out. And then after we stop jumping, we stop running in the rain because we're afraid we'll fall and hurt ourselves.
Exactly.
We stop running. Then before you know it, we're walking with a cane.
Yes,
Well, our digestive system kind of follows that same pattern. And if you'll think about evolving and devolving, small children like to eat junk. They like to eat candy and cakes and all kinds of sweet things and everything else that gets anywhere close to them, right? Especially if they become teenagers. They eat everything. And so when you're young, you have this great digestive system. It'll digest anything. But like saying, it has its limits. If you look at people in midlife, they say, you know, I'm going to start eating better. I get a little gassy. I need a little Tums. I need a little Maalox. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to take better care of myself. They start to get a hint, but they don't get enough information. And
right.
if you've been around any geriatric groups, like you heard me mention the sisters in the retirement home and the nursing home that I had the pleasure to work with for so many years, if you get around older people, you'll find that, like kids, they'd rather eat sweets than good food. It's a curious phenomenon, but very true. And it's not that they're being bad. It's that their digestive system has been worn out. It's been fatigued. It's tired. It wants to do the easy stuff. And sweets, carbohydrates, are easy. They're the first things we digest, you see. So what happens is the digestion of proteins requires hydrochloric acid. Now, the way that works, I use an analogy in my office, and if it offends someone, I'm sorry, but our stomach works like a commode. You know, the commode has a tank full of water, and after there's stuff in the commode, you press the water, and the water flushes it through. Then there's a clapper valve that closes, and the tank fills up again, and it's ready to be used again. That's how our stomach is supposed to work. When we eat a protein meal, it stimulates us to open that clapper valve and pour hydrochloric acid over those proteins to begin the digestion of protein. Once that reaches the right pH and the antrum is happy with it, it moves it into the small intestine. You remember me saying the upper two-thirds of the small intestine are for timing, to let all those enzymes have their activities. Well, what happens is as that hydrochloric acid expends its beneficial service to you, it leaves a product behind called betaine hydrochloride, which is a precursor of the hydrochloric acid. And the body reabsorbs that betaine and fills the tank with it so that when you eat another protein meal, you're able to open that clapper valve and make that work for you. What happens as we get older is very, very often the betaine kind of gets away from us. We have a little indigestion, or we eat and run, or some little problems happen. We lose a little betaine here and a little betaine there. And as we get older, very, very consistently, older people have weak hydrochloric acid production and poor digestion of proteins. Hence, you see that soft splitting nail. Now, you see that in younger people sometimes as well. It's not isolated to older people. Very often, people who run too busy of a lifestyle and they rush and they run, and they run after the kids and they run them back and forth to school, you'll see that problem with them as well. And guess what? They have the same problem. They haven't kind of worn out their hydrochloric acid production. They haven't broken the commode, and neither have you. But what's happened is they just lose that betaine at a much earlier time than you do because of nervous problems. So the solution for it, believe it or not, is very, very simple. You go to the health food store. Many drug stores today, you can find it, and you find that product, betaine hydrochloride. And it sounds just like it spells, and it spells just like it sounds, B-E-T-A-I-N-E, betaine, new word, hydrochloride, H-Y-D-R-O-C-H-L-O-R-I-D-E, betaine hydrochloride. And usually the directions are right on the bottle, but it's pretty, pretty simple to do. You take one or two tablets in the middle of each meal that contains protein. Now, if you eat a meal with no protein, you don't take it. But remember, the animal proteins are meat, fish, and fowl, but the vegetable proteins are seeds, beans, and nuts. Grains can also be put in that. So if you eat, say, a little oatmeal for breakfast, it's mainly a grain, but it has a little protein in it. Well, you wouldn't take two betaine hydrochloride tablets because it's kind of a small protein meal. Take just one. But if you eat some shrimp or some fish or some steak, you definitely want to take two. Now, the other important thing about betaine hydrochloride, never take it longer than 30 days. You really take it till the symptoms disappear and then stop. But the symptoms for your nails are going to take about 7 to 9 months to completely disappear. So you don't want to take that thing for 7 to 9 months. You want to take it for 30 days, then you want to stop for 30 days. And if your nails aren't hardened up a little in 2 months, you want to take that pain for 30 days and stop for 30 days. Because human beings and our bodies tend to be a little bit lazy. And if you take the betaine hydrochloride all the time, the body will say, oh, it's here all the time. We don't have to worry about reabsorbing it and making that commode work better. And so you actually stop the process instead of starting it up. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. T.
We got plenty more people waiting. Dr. T, that's Vivian who lives in New Orleans. She, you know, came to you yesterday.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Vivian. You should have asked me there, but I'm happy that you asked me here.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. We got Miss Ludell, a young woman. She's 91 years young, from Appleton, Georgia.
Appleton.
Good morning, Miss Ludell.
Good morning, darling, to you all.
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I listened to your information you've been giving out, but it's one that I'd like to know about the cramp. I have the cramp every morning, and I was just wondering what the cause of it or what can I do. I know my age. You said about the nails. I know that's all that's in it, but you know, I would just like to know, what could I do? Is it just normal for...
No, it's never normal to have cramps, Miss Odell. It's common, but it's not normal. The majority of times, cramping is a calcium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
In my practice, I do a lot of nutritional testing. And in my testing, I find that most people need somewhere between 400 and 600 milligrams of calcium every day.
Mm-hmm.
Calcium is a very plentiful mineral. I tell patients all the time, if I took your bones out of your body and threw them away, you would still have more calcium in your body than any other mineral.
Really?
Also, calcium is a very soft mineral. It tends to get damaged and broken, so your body has to throw it away and replace it with fresh calcium on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Calcium is found in all kinds of foods, almost every food. You find quite a bit of calcium in meat. You find quite a bit of calcium in milk. You find quite a bit of calcium in green leafy vegetables like spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of all the places you can find calcium, the most usable and most absorbable source of calcium is green leafy vegetables. If you have chlorophyll, if you have green leafy vegetables, if you have chlorophyll, you have sufficient quantities of usable calcium readily available to you. So my best suggestion to you is to add more green food into your diet. And I think you'll find that that's going to help you with that cramping. Let me ask you a few questions about cramping, because cramping comes in many forms. You say you mostly get it in the morning. Okay.
When I,
is it in the legs,
from my knee,
in the hand?
It's from my knee up my thigh. From
your
my knee,
knee
up
upper
my thigh.
Thigh. Okay. The front of the thigh or the back of the thigh?
Sort of on the front.
On the front? Okay, that's good. And this is why I'm taking a minute to ask you, because, as I say, the cramps come from several different sources, but calcium is the most common. If you have cramping in your hamstring muscle on the back of your thigh, and that's consistently it, it's like that hamstring always cramps, but I almost never get cramps anywhere else, that's not a calcium deficiency. That's actually an iron deficiency. And so people who consistently have hamstring cramps need iron. But the front of the thigh, the quadriceps muscles, very, very common for that to be calcium cramping. And a big part of cramping is fatigue cramping. But if it's in the morning when you're first getting out of bed, you're not fatigued, right? But I tell people when we sleep at night, we should not be digesting our food. So some of that has to do with eating on time. You know, when we were little kids in school, they told us breakfast is the most important meal.
Right.
And it is. It always was, and it still is. So you should eat breakfast. You should try to eat breakfast. Good girl. And you should try to eat breakfast preferably at the same time each morning. And then same thing with lunch. Eat it on time. Same thing with dinner. But you should actually consume your dinner and be finished eating your dinner before 7 p.m.
Right.
Okay. If you're a late eater, sometimes your digestion is a little strained at night, and you wake up in the morning with some deficiencies because you need to start that whole system up and take care of some unfinished business, so to speak. Okay. So I think if you add just some more green leafy vegetables into your diet, a little formula that I like. I don't know what you eat for breakfast, but if you like us here in the South, you like eggs, bacon, grits, and biscuits, but that's the best breakfast for you. But an excellent breakfast is to take some spinach or to take some broccoli or to take some asparagus, one or all of those. It doesn't matter how you do it. And chop it up a little bit, bite size, so it's comfortable for you, maybe even a little finer than that, and put it in your fry pan and saute it a little bit, with a little bit of a little bit of oil, just saute it. And when you've gotten it sauteed, some people like to put a little onion in with that. Take the whites of eggs. The yolks of eggs aren't bad food per se, but they're extremely high in cholesterol. And because of that, our body produces its own cholesterol. You really don't need to add on more with egg yellows. But egg whites are pure albumin. Actually, the egg white is the food for the baby chick that comes from the yolk. So as a food for that chick, it can be a food for us as well. Some people say eggs are out of the question, but egg whites are not a bad food for people. And so you take 2 to 3 egg whites, 4 to 6, as many as you like, and you fold them into that sautéed spinach or that sautéed asparagus, and with or without some onions, and that makes an excellent breakfast, high in calcium for you. It'll be a good way for you to start your day. And you want to focus on getting green vegetables in every meal.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. T. We got more people looking for people to press 1. Anybody else, press 1 to get your questions answered by Dr. Curry, by Dr. T.
I have a quick one. I just think segue on her is I use squash. Will squash do just as good?
Yes, it will. It will do just as good.
All right, press 1 if you have a question. Okay, someone, let's see, I'm looking for those who press 1. 1-800-764-0938. Did you press 1? You have a question? Hello? Okay, hold on 1 second. Other people pressing 1 here. Hold on, please.
Okay, Donna.
All right, 891. Donna, how you doing? You have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. I have a pain, like, right below my ankle on my left foot. And I don't really feel it until I start exercising and getting into certain poses, like in the, like, tree pose. I guess because I put a lot of weight on it. And then on my right knee, like in pigeon pose, I guess because it's so hyper, I can't really put much pressure on it. I slowly kind of, I'm trying to build up to it. But I don't really feel it walking around normally during the day, but I'm trying to figure out what's causing that, what I could do to get rid of it.
Okay.
Kind of specific, but that's what bothers me.
I'm sorry?
I said it's
can
kind
you
of
hear me,
specific.
Donna?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. When I see feet as a specific problem, you know I'm a chiropractor, so I love adjusting backs. Still my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have someone who brings me a lower extremity problem as a primary problem, more often than not, I find that their joints are jammed up. And mostly you need a good chiropractor, maybe a good massage therapist to just work on your feet, work on your legs, jerk your joints loose, pull them. When I went to school, my instructor, Dr. Schroeder, was an excellent technician on adjusting extremities, and he taught me well, but I had no success with him for my first 10 years in practice. It was very frustrating for me. And I met a fellow chiropractor who was famous for his extremity adjusting, and I talked with him, and I said, look, what do I need to do, man? He says, tell me what you do. I said, I do this, I do that. He says, you're doing all the right stuff. He says, let me see you do it. And when I did it, he says, that's your problem. You're too gentle. He says, when you want to adjust that knee, you grab that knee and jerk it as if you're trying to yank it off their body. He says, when you adjust that ankle, you grab it and jerk it as if you're trying to pull that foot right off the body. And it made me think of many of the older chiropractors. You know, many folks have gone to chiropractors, oh, God, I thought he'd kill me. Yank my head right off. But some of those older chiropractors understood that when you're dealing with joints that are jammed up and fixated, you have to use what's called dynamic thrust to open those joint spaces and free them up. And very, very often, more often than not, that is a problem in the lower extremities. You need to really open those joints. You need to free those joints. And it's not something you can readily do for yourself. Now, if you have an inversion table, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but there's a table where you can hang by your feet. You clamp your legs in and you flip upside down. An inversion
mm-hmm.
table is excellent for distracting the knees and distracting the ankles. And it's more gentle and it's more gradual, and you have to use it every day. You should use it about 30 minutes a day, preferably in 3 10-minute segments. And so an inversion table will help you do that if you don't have a massage therapist or a chiropractor available to you immediately. But when I hear those extremity problems without other preliminary things, that's what I think of first, is joints that are jammed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Makes
you.
Sense. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Sister Donna. Anybody else? Press 1. Question answered, okay. Let's see. I'm looking, somebody else press 1. Hold on, please.
Okay,
John. Yes, I see you. 224. 224-99.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, and you, Lady G?
I'm doing good. Is this Carol?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. Good morning, Doctor.
Please. Good morning, Miss Gal. How are
you? Good morning. I'm blessed. I do have a question.
Good. Yes, Doctor.
I know I have problems with my disc in my spine, but what I suffer from, or not suffer, but I feel every day, 24 hours a day, is numbness and tingling and puffiness in my toes on both feet. And I'm not a diabetic.
Okay, very good. That's half the problem solved already.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about the numbness, tingling toes. You said 24 hours a day. You have it all the time. Wake up with it, go to bed with it. It's there all day long. It's tolerable.
Yes.
It doesn't make you feel so bad you have to sit down and get off of it. It's tolerable, but it's constant.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And sometimes the toes are puffy.
And the toes get puffy. Okay.
Yes.
For the most part, when you think numbness and tingling, you think nerves, because those are sensory experiences that come from your nervous system. But when it's consistent like that, you have to think of something causing it. It's not always nerves. It can sometimes be nutritional deficiencies. When coupled with the puffing, my first thoughts on it are vitamin B12. Now, we hear a lot today about shingles, and they say if you ever had chicken pox, you have the shingles virus in you, and all that's true. But your body's immune system is designed to keep all that stuff at bay for you. God made us that way. Sometimes we need to feed our immune system. Now, very often, if you have bowel problems, and you heard me talk about B12 being produced in the bowel by Escherichia coli. Sometimes, even if you don't have bowel problems, just like you heard me talk about the betaine hydrochloride being lost from hydrochloric acid production, sometimes you just need a little extra B12 just to kind of stimulate that process and get it going again. And I would think that that would be very beneficial to you. Heard my comment. Your best bet would probably be to just get a sublingual B12, one that you put under your tongue and let it melt. It's just like a little red saccharin tablet. You put it under your tongue. It's cherry flavored, a little bit bitter, but nothing you won't be able to tolerate. And I would say take one every day. Now, when I got out of school, they measure B12 in micrograms instead of milligrams because you really don't need a lot of it. And when I was in school, 250 micrograms was considered a normal dose of vitamin B12. It's very easy today to find 1,000 milligram doses of B12 and even some 5,000 milligram doses of B12. We are finding out that we need more B12 than we thought, and we're not producing it as well as we used to. So since you're having a symptomatic problem, I would tell you at least 1,000 micrograms of B12 every day for probably 9 months to a year.
Okay.
And I think that will help you get going in the right direction.
9 months to a year. I kind of thought something was up with the B12 because I tire easily.
Okay, there you go. That's another easy sign of B12. Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction with you. If it's not too personal on an open forum like this, how are your bowels? Do you move your bowels once every day, or you have problems with it?
No, I don't have any problems with my bowels. I do have problems chewing my food, though.
Okay, yeah, you need to work on that. If you have problems chewing your food, throw it in a blender, puree it. Make it easier to deal with. Save your body.
Okay.
But remember this, even though you make it smaller and you don't have to chew it, still affect the process of chewing. Each mouthful, even if it's very, very soft like baby food, each mouthful you should chew 30 times. Just make a big chewing motion at least 30 times for each mouthful of food.
My mom
and that
used
will
to tell me that all the time.
Your mama was a good girl, though. And so that's going to help that digestive process, and it's going to help you with the bowel. Since you don't have a problem with constipation, but you appear to have a problem with B12, you may also want to take some substances that help the large intestine to strengthen your E. coli bacteria. You don't want to take those. They're not meant to be taken orally, but you want to strengthen them. And there's some things to do that. One of those things is called Tillisandia root. It's T-I-L-L-I-S-A-N-D-I-A. Tillisandia root sounds just like it spells. And another is beet greens. Like if you find fresh beets, they have a green top on them. We cut the top off and eat the beet. The top's more valuable to us than the beet because it's a green leafy vegetable, high in calcium, high in vitamin C, high in, and it also helps to feed the E. coli in our bowel.
I love beets too.
Excellent. Well, when you want to eat beets, be sure to buy them fresh, cut the green tops off, and prepare the green tops. Either chop them up and put them in a salad, but since that's a little difficult for you to chew, you might want to just juice them. Juice those beet tops and eat those greens, baby. They're going to do you good, good, good.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I feel better already.
Wonderful.
Dr. T, she is in Chicago, so she has a Blog Talk Radio show. Also, you want to give us the number, Carol?
Oh, my. That number to call in is, let me see if I can say it off the top of my head. It's, I believe it's 646.
But look, go ahead. Carol, go look for it and
yes.
Then come right back.
Okay. All right. Thank
all
you.
All right. Our next caller, look for it, come right back and tell us. Our next caller.
I've got it.
Okay, go
ahead. 646-200-0170. And we're on this morning at 10:30.
010.
Name of the show.
That's Central Standard Time, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Chicago,
yes.
Central Standard Time. So that'll be 11:30 my time, but. And it's 646-200-0170. So you all can listen to her show. What's the name of your show, Carol?
The name of our show is The Prodigal Daughters and Sons. It's the Christian, Christian talk show. And we're talking
and
on
Miss
Facebook.
And, Miss Cal, you're very fortunate. The National University in Lombard, Illinois, is where I went to school, and it's an excellent chiropractic college, probably one of the two or three leading chiropractic colleges in the United States and around the world. And y'all are very fortunate to have those young doctors available to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I will have to give them a check out when I go out. That way I know where they're at, too.
Good. They're right on Roosevelt Road. Thank you,
God bless you.
Have a great
day. You too, sir.
All right, our next caller is one of my good friends from New Orleans, but she lives in Houston, Texas. Brenda, how you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing great. Love you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor. I have some questions I would like to ask you, not only for myself but for others. What do you do if you have age spots? You know, if you're light, if your skin tone is light, but then you have some dark colorations that appear on your face, and what do you do about little pimples that come in and around your breast area as well as, you know, your back and your tummy area? How could you, you know, alleviate that? And then, too, what can you take to augment, to alleviate the beginning stages of osteoporosis?
Very good questions. I'll take them in sequence.
Okay.
The age spot problem is actually a liver problem, and we're going to come forward to that because it's going to involve other things. But, you know, we want to be rid of them as well. We don't want to just make our body well. We want to make our body look and feel well as well. Years ago, a very dear friend of mine here in New Orleans told me that when you have aging spots and dark spots, one of the best things for it is to take a fresh lemon and squeeze it. And take the lemon juice with a little cotton swab and just dab it on those spots and let it dry. And when it dries, just dab it on again and do it throughout the day. And, you know, citrus is high in bioflavonoids, and bioflavonoids are an excellent activator for vitamin C. vitamin C is a wonderful healer. Linus Pauling won a Nobel Prize just talking about all the wonderful things that vitamin C can do. So that's one of the things you can do to deal with those spots just locally and make you feel and look as good as you want to. The pimples that you get under your breast have to do with heat and moisture. We can't always completely avoid that. They get on our back. Our backs are hotter than the rest of our body for the most part. To treat them, again, locally, what you want to do is go to the drugstore. When I was a kid, you used to be able to find decolorized iodine. You know, if you get tincture of iodine and you paint it on you, you're all yellow for the day. But they used to make a decolorized iodine. It disappeared from the American market for many, many years, but in recent years it has returned. So you can go to any drugstore, go in the shelf where they have mercuricome and methylate, and find yourself a small bottle of decolorized iodine. And you can take either the applicator, I use a little Q-tip, put the Q-tip in it, and just put it, dab it, just touch it right on any pimple or infectious areas that you have. It'll absorb right through the skin. It'll clear it up in 24 to 72 hours. Excellent for you to feel and look as beautiful as you want to. Now, both of those problems are liver. So, decidedly, if you're having reoccurring infections, and that's what pimples are, they're infections, they're blocked skin ducts, but the normal bacteria on your skin become copious and overgrow, and they become infectious. Not like pneumococci or something of that nature, but just from normal skin bacteria. So you can use that to clear those up. But you want to strengthen your immune system, and the place to start strengthening your immune system is with a good liver cleanse. Now, you heard Caritha talk that I had her do a liver cleanse years ago. It should be done in the springtime. If you were going to do it, if you had some acute symptoms for gallbladder, I might do it now before October 31st. You should not do it after October 31st. And so you might consider doing it now, but I wouldn't recommend it to you. I'd recommend that just to keep your liver functioning through the winter time smoothly is to take a tablespoon of olive oil every night at bedtime. Just put a bottle of olive oil on your bedstand with a tablespoon and just take a tablespoon of olive oil every night at bedtime until April 15th. On April 15th, Caritha and I will get with you and we'll teach you how to do a liver cleanse. And you want to cleanse your liver once a year for 3 years, then every other year for 3 treatments, then every third year for 3 treatments. And that way you'll cleanse your liver and activate your liver. Your liver does 40 standalone chemical functions that you cannot live without. And it participates in over 400 other functions that are almost as vital to you. So when you see these kind of reoccurring problems, you know that the liver is a little congested. Okay. Now, the actual substance you need or the actual gland that you need to help you fight off infections is the thymus gland, T-H-Y-M-U-S, the thymus gland. The thymus gland is to your immune system what your heart is to your cardiovascular system. It drives that whole system. And when you find people who have reoccurring colds, reoccurring infections, reoccurring problems of that nature, reoccurring like infection areas, they often need to stimulate their thymus gland. Now, one of the things you can do to mechanically stimulate your thymus gland is to simply thump your chest. Just make a fist with your hand and just thump it on your chest. Like you'd burp a baby, just thump your chest. You want to thump your chest 40 times at least once a day. You can do it as often as 2 to 3 times a day, but at least once every day, thump your chest. And that will stimulate your thymus gland mechanically. There's also some nutritional things you can do to do all that, but you might want to clear that liver first. But between now and April 1st, what you want to do is a tablespoon of olive oil every night at bedtime and thump your thymus 40 times at least once a day. In April, we'll cleanse your liver. You'll probably continue thumping thymus for a month or two. In June, we'll cleanse your kidneys. You'll continue thumping your thymus until around June or July. Then we'll talk about maybe stimulating your thymus gland. Okay?
Thank you ever so much. God bless you.
Thank you. A pleasure. God bless you, darling.
All right. We got another question coming up, Dr. Okay. This is 904-355-3938. Got a question? Hello? 904-355-3938. Press 1. Somebody press 1. All right. I can't hear you if you're speaking. Let me see. They must have got clicked off. Okay. Here. Let me see. They're here again. 355-3938. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. And you?
Okay. I couldn't hear you before if you were speaking.
I was.
Ella.
Yes.
Ella, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How about you?
Doing
I
good.
Have.
You have a question?
Yes, I have.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor. Pleased to meet you over the phone. Yes, I have two questions. I have had both of my knees replaced, and my last surgery was 9 months ago. But look like
okay.
I can't get any energy. And I was wondering if there's anything that you could recommend for energy. I go to the Y and I work out, but for some reason I can't get my energy back. And the other question is, I suffer with moles, and I've been to several doctors and no one seems to know where the moles come from. And they start out itching under the skin, and they be a little bump, and then when they come up under the skin, they are brown, and they are moles, and I'm just full of moles. So is there anything that you know that you could recommend for the mold?
Yes, there's solutions for both of those problems. You heard us talking about vitamin B12 earlier?
Yes.
Vitamin B12 is for energy. It's a
okay.
general energizer. And it's very likely that post-surgically they gave you tons of antibiotics and they've interrupted your normal bacterial flora. And it's going to take time for you to rebuild that. So while you're working on rebuilding that, take some sublingual B12, about 1,000 micrograms a day.
Okay.
And you want to take that until you get your flora restored with some Acidophilus and Bifidophilus and Escherichia materials. Okay? So that will take care of the energy problem or at least start moving you in the right direction for energy.
Okay.
The second for the moles is you need, you know, there are lots of B vitamins. There's B1, B2, B3, B5, B7, B12. Okay. One of the B vitamins that's specific for moles is vitamin B2. Vitamin B2, if you look at most of the medical material and information on vitamin B2, it tells you it's very important for cardiac rhythm function, okay?
Yes.
But I've run into a couple of articles on occasion that say vitamin B2 is also bad for moles.
Okay.
It won't make your moles go away, but
mm-hmm.
it should stop you from getting more.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, the only thing I can think of really right off the top of my head that might make the moles go away, but I'd have to research it a little bit. There's a salve called black salve.
Black
salve. Indian salve. It's an Indian salve from the American Indian. It is a specific treatment for skin cancer. But I'm not sure that it would be functional with your moles. If your moles are non-cancerous, the black salve may not have any effect on them. I would have to research that a little bit to be sure.
Well, the doctor said it wasn't cancerous, but he didn't know why they kept coming in. And, well they just can't find out anything about it.
Yeah, if you load up on that B2, I think you'll stop them.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Dr. T. Thank you, Ella. We have David on. David Emanuel is another question. Good morning, David.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
You're here. Okay, you're here.
You ready for me?
Yes.
Okay, the question
yes.
I have.
We are. What's your question?
Thank you for the information, doctor. A lot of good information. And
thank you.
The question I have is, do you guys endorse any chiropractor in Jacksonville? Because I've never been to a chiropractor, and you know, I have insurance, so I can go if it's a matter of trusting someone.
Okay.
And
I have one I'm going to.
Okay.
Okay, Karina, why don't you answer that for him, because I don't know anyone there.
My second thing is I feel like my hair is thinning up front in some spots. Well, my barber says it isn't, but I would like to know something that holistic that I can take or natural that I can take to strengthen my hair.
Interesting.
And I'm vegan. My diet is vegan. I'm vegan.
You are vegan? Okay.
Yes.
Interesting, because hair and protein are linked to each other. You can look at protein by cutting hair, but hair isn't affected by protein consumption in spots. It can affect your whole head. You can have hair that's dry or hair that's brittle or hair that falls out all over your head if there's a protein problem. But a protein problem will not give you alopecia vera. Alopecia vera is a unique situation, and you're in a good position to deal with it. Years ago, right after I was out of college, I read an article about alopecia vera. That's where you see guys who are bald just on the top of their head, but they have hair around the sides and back. It said that the alopecia is a flap of skin that lies under your scalp, or it's your scalp that lies under your skin on the top of your head. If you remember all the old cowboy movies when we were a kid, they used to scalp people. Well, when they scalped a person, what they actually did was cut the alopecia. There's a tissue that attaches right at the top of your forehead. It's much like the omentum of the stomach. And that tissue lays back over the top of your head. It's there to protect you from injury and trauma and that sort of thing. But all of your blood vessels, all of your nerves, all your hair follicles have to be fed through that alopecia, and it's very thick tissue. Massaging doesn't help because the alopecia is only attached at the front. So if you just rub it back and forth, you haven't affected the alopecia to any appreciable degree. But because it's only attached in one place. So the recommended treatment was to grasp your hair, put your hand on the top of your head and grasp your hair and pull your hair back as if you were trying to pull the top of your head off, but not straight up, but straight back. And to hold that for about 30 seconds and to do it at least 3 to 7 times a day. And so what happens is most often when men come to me and complain about that problem, they don't have enough hair to grab. Okay, so you are smart to notice it, even if your barber doesn't, that your hair is thinner than it used to be, and you can grab that alopecia and pull it back and help to stretch that alopecia and improve the circulation and neurological function that comes through it to your scalp. Okay, now the second item that I have for you is a laser cap. I have a little nephew who had a similar problem. He was thinning in his hair, and he read about a laser cap. and he actually made one for himself. Since that time, I have seen some that are produced. And if you're a pretty handy guy, you could probably make one, but if you just don't have the time, effort, or energy for it, you can purchase one pretty reasonable, actually. And I will tell you from personal experience, the laser cap works well for him. He puts it on all evening when he's home, and sometimes he'll fall asleep with it, he said, but it'll fall off your head when you're sleeping, he says, so it's not sensible to try to sleep with it. He says, but you want to use that laser. You know, we know that laser beams help tissues to regenerate and help tissues to heal. We're using them in the medical profession in increasing ways every year for the last probably 22 to 25 years now. They're used for acute injuries. They're used for chronic regenerative circumstances. And the biggest problem is using them enough. You really use them too much. And so you definitely want to get a laser cap and start using it routinely. It'll stop you from losing your hair.
Would it also help hair grow?
Yes, it will make the hair grow. It'll make new hair follicles come out.
Thank you, Doc.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, David. Thank you, Dr. T. Any more questions? Press one. We got just a few more minutes questions, so press one if you have a question. Look in here, because some people tell me, okay, here's a question right here. This is Mariba. She is in Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Mariba. How are you?
Good morning. How are you all, doctor?
Doing wonderful, Mariba. Good morning to you. Glad to have you with us.
What are you purchasing? Is it also feasible for women, too?
The laser treatment?
Yes. What are you...
For both,
the laser
yes.
cap.
Yes, ma'am. It works for both men and women.
Okay, where do you purchase? At the drugstore?
No, ma'am. You'll have to go on the internet, look under lasers rather than looking under medical devices.
Yes.
Just look under the area for lasers and just tell them you're looking for a laser hat or a laser bonnet. And you'll find it. It's not a hidden secret anymore.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure, Maria.
God bless you in all your ways.
Thank you so much. God bless you as well, darling.
I receive it.
All right, thank you, Maria. But thank you, Dr. T. All right, we still got time for a few more questions. Anybody else questions? Press one.
Press
one. Okay.
If you're not going to ask one, I have a short one. If you already have long hair and you're just trying to make it grow longer, is it still safe to use?
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Dr. T. Anybody else? Press one. Got a question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Donna.
Because I pressed one twice, and I don't think you saw it or whatever.
No, you are. That's because you are already on.
Oh, okay. I'm curious about the liver transplant and why you recommend starting the liver transplant in April.
Donna, wait, hold on. Donna, you're not very clear.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can you clear your... Huh? Not really. No.
Okay, how about is it better?
It's a little bit better.
Okay, let me pull over and park.
That's much better.
Yeah, liver cleanse. I'm interested in liver cleanse. Why start it in April if you recommend it for everybody? Because I'm interested in that. And what do you know about the lemonade diet? Do you recommend that? Because I was thinking about doing a lemonade cleanse fairly soon.
I'm very familiar with the lemonade cleanse.
It actually started out many years ago with a product called FigPep, F-I-G-P-E-P. It's no longer in production. It was one of the best things about the liver cleanse. If you're going to do a liver cleanse, again, do it in the springtime, and I'll tell you why. But what you want to do is you want to get some fresh figs and blend them into your fig pep preparation each day. I'll tell you why. Years ago, when my first patient that I ever had, period, first patient, was from Yugoslavia. And she used to tell me, she said, in Yugoslavia we have a saying, when the figs are ripe, the doctors go hungry. And that was always interesting to me, and I always kept an eye out for information about that. I finally dealt with an herbalist who told me what the secret is to figs. Figs are a wonderful vermiform. They kill anything that gets inside our body that doesn't belong there microscopically. Pretty much figs can kill it. And the reason for it is when a fig flowers, there's a worm that loves fig trees, and they go down into the flower. When the flower petals fall and the pistil develops into a fig, it has a worm inside that wants to eat it. Instead, it eats the worm, and it has an enzyme in it that is wonderful. God has everything here that we need, everything. He's such a wonderful God. And so that's why you want to use fig pep with your lemon cleanse. Now, all cleanses should be done at different times of year. Our bodies, you know, we like to think that we're higher creatures, but we're still creatures. We're God's creatures, and we follow His time and His cycles on His earth. What happens is everything on this earth goes through a cycle. If we get up north in Chicago, we see that cycle quite readily. It snows in the wintertime, the spring everything turns green, the summer's warm and balmy, and the fall is beautiful. We get a little further south down here, it's hot all year round, we're lucky to get a little bit of rain, and then it's hot again. You get down to the equator, it's just hot and rainy every single day. That's why they have rainforests there. Okay. But in spite of all of that, our bodies all follow the cycles. And what happens is, in the spring months, our body opens up. Our body prepares to cleanse and refresh itself. And so while we should be cleaning ourselves all year long, in the springtime, our body prepares for spring cleaning. You know, we have air conditioning now, so we don't really appreciate how the old folks did it. Every spring, they drug the mattresses outside, beat on them with sticks. They hung their clothes over the fence, beat on them with sticks. They took all the rugs out of the house, beat on them with sticks. They refreshed the house. They swept the house clear, and they started over for the springtime. Okay? We forget that because we don't live in that cycle anymore. But that cycle still lives within us. God placed it in us. So in the springtime, early spring, your body starts to relax. One of the first things that starts to relax is your liver. I told you how important the liver is. It does 40 standalone chemical functions that you cannot live without. It participates in over 400 other chemical functions that are almost equally as valuable. So the body starts with the liver. It starts to relax it. It starts to open it up. It starts to let it spring clean. After the liver finishes, that begins in about April, goes through April and May. When the liver finishes, the kidneys open up. Well, you know, God gave us two kidneys, so it had to get in line. We only have one liver. The liver needs to be done first. After the liver's done, the kidneys begin that same process. June 1st, they start to relax. They start to open up. They start to refresh themselves. They start to throw out all the trash. There are things that we can do, cleansing programs that we can do to help each organ cleanse in its due time. Okay?
And that lemonade diet you talk about is an excellent diet, and you can utilize it in its right time. Winter time is not the time to do it.
Okay, so starting April. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Donna. Thank you, Dr. T. We have someone else, 904-450. You have a question, you're on live.
Yes, this is Diana. Good morning to everyone, Carissa and the doctor.
Good morning, Diana.
My question is, I have a family member who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. My family member had surgery about 3 weeks ago, and they did not get all of it out. They want to go back in and do it again. She has a friend who has taken wheatgrass over a number of years, and for some reason she's been doing well. And my question is, does wheatgrass help with the cancer cells, or is this a myth? Or
the wheatgrass program was developed by Dr. Ann Wigmore in Boston, Massachusetts. She was a wonderful herbalist, a wonderful naturopath, a great homeopathic. She was a wonderful person and a great doctor. She's been deceased many years now. But she used to run a resort in Boston that she called the Castle. And she would invite people to come and to learn how to use wheatgrass and how to grow their own wheatgrass. Her testimonies will fill volumes. I happened to read a testimony by a fellow by the name of Bob Boyle. He's since deceased, is the only reason I'm telling you his name. But he would be quick to tell you his name. Bob was a New Orleans resident, and I met him through Naben Kacharia. She was my very first patient that I ever had. Bob wrote a testimonial for her. His medical doctors had written him off. They told him they didn't think he would live more than 4 to 6 years. He had heart trouble. He had dropsy. He had swelling of the ankles and lower leg. He had glaucoma. He was almost blind. He could barely see. He was a drinker and a smoker and a carouser and was paying the price for it. He found Dr. Ann Wigmore. He went up to the Castle, and she literally saved his life. He went to the Castle every year thereafter and followed her regime religiously. Bob Boyle lived to be 80 years old. So there's tremendous healing in the wheatgrass program. There are lots of nutritional things you can do for cancer, to fight cancer and defeat cancer and prevent cancer. Curiously enough, I've never seen wheatgrass included in any of those programs, and I've never seen wheatgrass promoted as a cancer cure. I wouldn't tell anyone not to try wheatgrass, but I think there are several other things that you could do in addition to wheatgrass. I'm not at my office, so I don't have the title for the book. That is probably one of the best manuals on nutritional cures for cancer. But I will get that to Caritha. If you'll stay in touch with Caritha, I'll get that to her. Or you can call me at my office.
Doing all right? How are you?
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry, say it again.
Thank you very much. I will stay in touch. I do have one more question if you have time.
Yes, ma'am.
My next question is that I have a friend that has tingling in the arm on the left side and sometimes the right side. And I'm just wondering what would you suggest?
Most likely, if they're having tingling in the arms, especially if it's moving from side to side, they have a bad disc in the lower part of their neck.
Okay.
And because that disc is unstable, it sometimes puts pressure on the left and sometimes puts pressure on the right. It may be serious enough for surgery. It may not. Discs are graded 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 being the worst. I've never seen a 1 disc. An individual gets hurt in a workman's compensation injury. They take them right to the hospital. They surgically stabilize them, and I probably will never see that individual. But grade 4 discs and grade 3 discs we see in our chiropractic practices very often. They respond very well to chiropractic care. You can't guarantee it, but you certainly can try your best. So I would suggest your friend find a chiropractor in your area and at least get his evaluation and opinion.
Okay. Thank you, doctor, so much for all of your information. Have a wonderful day, and may God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you, dog. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dr. T. Thank you, Diana. All right.
You're welcome.
It's coming close to closing time. Did someone
all
else
right,
say
sweetheart.
Something? Anybody else say anything? All right. Coming close to closing time. So now we're going to take prayer requests. Anybody have a prayer request? Just we don't have known. So what I think I'm really going to do is just pray a general prayer for everyone. But let me see. I'm looking to see if Vivian. Vivian, are you still on Vivian?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you know about the death in my family. And my cousin Mavis passed away tragically this past week. Tuesday,
oh,
I got a call. And some young boy, 15, stole his mother's keys, and he picked up some friends, and she was in a church parking lot, and they were going so fast at a high speed, they hit her car, and she died instantly. So I'm asking, my request is that, Vivian, you pray for me, and after you pray, then I am going to say a general prayer for everybody. You know, it's coming close to closing time at 11 o'clock. So if you could say a prayer for my family. Now, I'm going to give honor. You know, the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And, you know, Mavis was she was my first cousin on my dad's side. many of you remember her mother, Aunt Mildred Brown. She used to sing on Saturdays for us. She died last November, and Mavis's daughter died last March. And Mavis took care of her husband, who was sick for years. So Mavis has been the caretaker in the family for a while. And, you know, many people loved her. She was very sweet and kind and a loving person. She put the needs of others before her own needs. You know, her mother would tell her, I want to eat this, I want to do that. Whatever her mother wanted, she would try her best to please her. You know, I thank God for the person that she was. You know, she looked after many people in the neighborhood. She and her husband had their own bus company. They transported children to school. And, you know, they were just, you know, people who cared about other people. So, you know, she's going on, you know, to be with the Lord. So, you know, the Lord says, precious are the death of his saints. So she was very precious, and I thank God for the years that he gave her. She was 78 years old when she passed away on Tuesday. So, Vivian, if you could say a quick prayer for me and my family and me, then I'll pray for everyone.
Father God, I just thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for allowing Dr. Tito, of course, on to bless us, God. And, Father God, I just ask you to look up on your dear saint today, God, and strengthen her and her family, Father God, as they the deaths in their family, Father God. And, Father God, as they go along these days missing their loved ones, God, I pray, Father God, that you will strengthen them and let the joy of the Lord be their strength. And, Father, them carry them on your wings, O God, that as they feel down, God, you pick them up and lift them up and help them to look to you from whence cometh their help, Lord God, because all of that help comes from you. So, Father, we thank you that, oh, God, these ones have lived the life, God, that is gone on, Father God, that they are in, be with you until you shall come back and receive Carissa and the rest of her family, God. But until then, God, we just continue looking to you and praising you and giving you all. And I pray, God, as they prepare for funeral arrangements, God, God, you just put a song in their heart and keep the joy of the Lord in them as they go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you that you are Lord, you are King, you are God. In the name of Jesus, and Father, I thank you for everyone who participated today on Bible Storyland. And Father, I just thank you, oh God, that you came in mightily in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you are concerned about every facet of our lives. And so, Father, we thank you that you are the ultimate healer. And I thank you now in the name of Jesus for Dr. Curry, for Donna, for Karen Itell, and for Jackie, those who participated, those who had questions. And Father, I thank you that you are a great God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for bringing our health to another level, keeping us healthy and well. Help us to be proactive with our health, oh God, not just wait until we get sick, but help us to do those things that you require of us, to exercise, to get proper rest, to drink enough water, oh God. You designed water for our bodies, oh God. Help us to drink plenty of water and hydrate our, keep our bodies hydrated, oh God. And, Father, I thank you for the words that you spoke through Dr. Kurtz in the name of Jesus to help your people be healthy and well. And, Father, I just bless you and honor you. I thank you, Father God, that your word says, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So, Father God, we hang on to your scripture because you are not a man that you should lie. And I thank you for our health prospering daily in the name of Jesus. I thank you for us eating healthy, thinking healthy, eating healthy, getting proper rest and exercise for our bodies, and doing all that we can. And, Father, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are a great healer. Doctors are limited, but you are the unlimited physician. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you that you are an awesome King, a mighty God. And we just honor your presence today like never before. Have your way, Father God. Walk with us today. Talk with us. Be a lamp and a light to our pathway every day. And, Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us. In the mighty name of Jesus, forgive us for every sin that we've committed against you, against each other, and against ourselves, oh God. So today we bless and honor you, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Jesus' name. So, I love each of you. It's closing time. God loves you even more. I look forward to speaking with you next Saturday, and I pray that Dr. Curtis will come on next month on Family Day, and I will see you all next Saturday. Don't forget the number, call-in number is 1-619-789-4313. Call in. Remember, first purpose. Remember, purpose in your heart to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love each other like you love yourself. Love God. That's obedience. Be obedient to God. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, and a God-filled month, and definitely a God-filled year. And there's no unhealthiness in God. So hold on to his unchanging hand for health and strength, because he truly is our strength. I love you. Bless you. Talk to you next week.
God bless you. Amen.
Bless you, too. Thank you so much, Dr.